Age of Gladiators, $1.99.
No, it was $10, wasn't it?
Oh, it's 80% off right now.
Fuck me! God damn it.
Hello, and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. We're here with Emilio.
Hello.
Chad.
Hey, this is me.
Chi.
Hi.
And myself, Bobby. How's it going, guys?
Excellent. Super Bowl was just a couple of days ago, yesterday.
Just yesterday, so yesterday. I'm a little hungover today. Not
likewise.
Feeling the greatest.
What, everybody had a good Super Bowl experience? You didn't watch, Bobby.
I played HOTS.
She was working.
No, I wasn't working.
Oh, you weren't working.
Yeah, I went to a house party where I knew nobody, but still had a really good time.
Nice.
And watched the Super Bowl, got some really good food, brought my infamous deviled eggs, which has crumbled bacon all over it.
Ooh, nice.
So
I love deviled eggs.
Yeah, so I had a good time.
And then I heard about Emilio's already. He got wasty-faced, right?
I got wasted at Cheese Bar.
On Saturday night. Yeah.
Oh, on Saturday, yes. Yeah, yeah. That wasn't Super Bowl, but that was a great night. Yeah, you guys were drinking. He was
lost $50 on the Falcons, but it was almost worth it for such a great game.
It was a good game.
Yeah,
first
was
overtime in
Super Bowl history.
Bobby, three records had to be broken for me not to win my money back. First overtime ever. Biggest comeback of all time. Fifth time a quarterback wins a Super Bowl.
Yep.
All those things had to happen in order for me to not get my $150.
That's a tall order.
Yeah. But it happened.
It was
never
awesome.
Trust Emilio's.
How were the commercials?
Luck is how it goes.
I haven't checked those.
Stranger
out.
Things 2 had their commercial come out, and they're officially coming back.
Halloween, right?
On Halloween, yes.
Which is
terrible,
a long way.
No, there was two funny commercials, and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they get less funny each year or we're getting older.
No, they weren't even trying, though. They were like, wasn't funny commercials, you know?
Do you think they're going to make a Telltale game out of Stranger Things? Are they over it?
They have to. Please do.
That would be cool.
I don't know. I think we're all tired of Telltale.
I think
their shenanigans.
A side-scroller. Stranger Things side-scroller in 8-bit graphics to go with the 80s kind of theme.
Yeah, maybe.
I would like that.
Actually, that would be really nice.
Yeah.
Something like Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Like kind of a Castlevania feel.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
It.
I saw
anything like
some
that,
fan art of theirs that was just like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. It was very fitting.
Yeah.
Maybe they play D&D in the show, so maybe role playing.
D&D style.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hey, let's get to a goddamn podcast, huh?
Yeah, let's do it. We do want to give a shout out to Jesse, our new Patreon. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, yes.
Arigato.
Very appreciative of all that. And
if you
also
claim that Patreon, because we don't know your actual
gamer handle.
Yeah, let us know who you are.
Yeah, give us a shout out.
Oh, apparently it's Pinful. Oh, well, thank you, Pinful.
Oh, it's nice. Beirut. Pinful is also Beirut.
Oh, gotcha.
Nice. He changes his name so often, he's a chameleon.
Exactly.
Much appreciated, Pinful.
So,
go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
We wanted to throw out a request to the masses. We need a new intro, one that includes Chi in it. If there's some sound maestros out there that can piece together something for us with the nice little original track that we won't get sued for, that would be exceptional.
Yeah, make sure the audio is open. What is it called? Open license? Yeah.
Royalty free.
And get back to us, and after we check it out, we'll shit on it, and then you can edit it, and then we'll get something good, hopefully.
Now, Clown Lotion has a good question here. Where did the British chick come from in our intro? That was a friend of...
That is Puppy Parade's sister.
Puppy Parade's sister, yeah.
All right. One of our UK listeners lended his sister's talent.
Yeah, she sounds great. He sounds like a total twat. Love you, Puppy.
We never did confirm if she is actually as hot as she sounds, though. Did we find that out?
I mean, maybe. She's British.
Okay. So she's got bad teeth?
It's just, I don't know. They're not.
Let's not start that again.
Okay. That was old school. Shit.
Let's move on to some games here on our video game podcast. We still like to talk about video games, unlike some other video game podcast I listen to.
You want to throw names?
You know who you are out there.
Are you salty?
No, a podcast that I really like and enjoy has recently decided to open up their topics to like wider things, and then they had an episode that I just got around to listening to today where they're just like, you know, we're going in a whole new direction, we're canceling this podcast, starting another one. I don't know, I really do like these guys, but I don't know if I'm going to follow them into whatever new adventure they're going into. Yes, Idle Thumbs is the podcast I'm referring to.
But are they funny?
They're smart.
Are they funnier than us?
They're a different kind of funny than us. Okay. They're more highbrow.
You're saying we're not highbrow?
First of all, rude. And B, I'm offended.
Yeah.
they're game developers, too. So they got a lot of inside knowledge and some familiarity with the design of games. So, yeah, I'm upset about it, too. I'll probably give them a chance, but we'll see. But anyway, video games. Who wants to start this off?
I thought we were going to start with a little more into Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, Resident Evil 7. I've played very little of this game since I talked about it last, although I did convince another friend of mine to play it. Chi, you played a lot more.
Yes, I did. So I got back into Resident Evil 7, and I was streaming it. I would say I made it to another boss fight. And what I've experienced from my last time gaming to where I am with Resident Evil 7 now, I am kind of surprised at how not as challenging it is yet with Resident Evil's generally with the boss fights that I'm used to. In more recent Resident Evils, I feel like they are more... Well, maybe this wasn't really a boss fight then, because I killed the first non-human-like monster in Resident Evil 7, and it took me 3 shots. So I'm not sure what was necessarily happening there. It doesn't really tell me much about the story other than you come across the one monster that you fought in the demo. If you played the demo, you know what I'm talking about. But it's the first non-human monster that I destroyed. And it went down pretty easy. Too easy, yes, considering the horror element is still there.
Yeah.
Maybe they're figuring
you're going to be shitting your pants so much that they don't have to put that much difficulty in it.
Well, what does the game consider a boss fight? Like, does that consist of you running from this thing and then shooting it, then running more and shooting it?
So, actually, I wouldn't say this is a boss fight because it didn't unveil more of the story and it wasn't larger than life enemy.
It didn't feel like a checkpoint.
And I wasn't in a trapped area.
An
because
arena.
Most bot fights, boss What did I say? Bot fights?
Bot fights, yeah.
Boss fights are in an enclosed arena, like you said.
Yeah.
So this wasn't a boss fight. It was just a new enemy that I came across, and I'm looking to see. And then I'll come back to the whole boss fight thing. But I'm still in the game, still completely horrified. Do you think once you get these weapons and you go further in the game, the horror element would light up a little bit? But through the VHS thing that they do, where you're basically running 2 stories in one, like previous Resident Evil games, this one here, when you're watching the VHS portion of the game, you're playing the person, the cameraman, or whoever's in that VHS, and it opens up another branch of the story, and you don't have a weapon when you're in that mode. So that's where it's also horrific.
So from a pussy's perspective, where I won't
that's
play
him.
It,
yeah.
It sounds like Resident Evil just stuck Outlast into a Resident Evil game, and those are the scary parts.
Actually, yeah.
Right?
I would say so. And it's good because it's leaking you the main story and the plot little by little, like a really good horror movie.
Okay.
So, I've you know how you've dealt with John Baker, the dad? Well, now I've dealt with something that's involved with the mom. Mm. So little by little, I'm finding out more about the family and what exactly is happening to them and is happening to me now that I'm kind of trapped.
Would you say it's easier partly because you're streaming this as well and you're getting feedback from your
viewers? Oh, yes.
Viewers?
I'm still getting feedback from they're holding my hand as I'm playing the game.
Okay.
Which gives me the balls to actually play it.
Okay.
So
theoretically, it could be much harder than you're giving it credit for.
It would be harder and more challenging with the puzzles, I feel like, and with the chase scenarios.
Okay.
But the actual shooting and fighting element, it's very on par with previous Resident Evil games.
Okay.
So it's not, it's scarier, but it's not more challenging, in my opinion.
Okay. Fair enough.
But still loving it.
Love it. Love it. Can't wait to play more now that I can play more. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'll be back streaming and playing more Resident Evil 7.
Nice. It's probably the best looking Resident Evil game to date, too. It is a really good looking game. The only minor issue that I had with this was at the very beginning, it's daylight and you're walking into the house and the bright light is so obnoxiously bright on my computer screen. And I think that might be a computer setting. Maybe it's the bloom that I have to turn down, but it's mm-hmm. almost like distracting. Whenever light comes in through a window, it's like so blinding that I don't know. It just looks off to me, but so then the game gets very dark and that doesn't,
it doesn't, it doesn't take place at night.
It starts off during the day.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Time passes mm-hmm. and you can, and you'll notice that as you play through the game.
Well, maybe they were trying to obscure things in light, just like they obscure things in darkness.
That's, you know, a very good...
Yeah. Maybe.
It's called illuminating darkness, Bobby.
Wow.
All right, so more Resident Evil 7 probably next week. I really want to finish that game, but...
But hot.
Yeah.
But
it, yeah. I didn't have much time this weekend to play, although I did try to play one game. Pinful was nice enough to send me a beta entry for Tom Clancy's Ghostlands, or Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Ooh, nice.
And I could not get this game to work. I've never had this many issues with getting a game to work. It would freeze on me during loading screens, during menu screens, and then eventually I would get into the game, and then it would freeze on me there, and then it would be random where it would freeze, and I'd have to alt-tab out and then cancel the process. Like, it was a really bad experience. And I tried to Google it, tried to look up solutions on the forum. Not a lot of people having the exact same problem that I had. A lot of people having performance issues with this game, running it at high frame rates and just various issues getting it to run. But I just straight up could not get this thing to go. Yeah, it's a beta. And I run into a lot of problems with, because I have a G-Sync monitor and a G-Sync card, and it doesn't like V-Sync. You can't turn V-Sync on when you have G-Sync. Apparently, that'll cause some issues. Also, I've noticed the 1080, if you put a game in full screen mode, it does not want to go out of that mode. It does not let you alt tab. So I've started using borderless window a lot, but that mm-hmm. didn't seem to help it. I played around with all the options, the configuration settings.
It's an NVIDIA card, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1080.
Did you actually get to play, though, at all?
No. I literally played like 2 minutes of this game.
Wow.
Is it single player?
No, it's a multiplayer.
It's similar to Division, isn't it? Where you can run missions with people, and or you can go to PvP areas and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like that. I think somebody summed it up like it was a lot more similar to Arma 3, but a specific mod of Arma 3. I really wish I could talk more about it and like actually know what I'm talking about, but really all I have to say about it is I couldn't get it to run. So I don't know if yeah. that's just the beta or if that's just some issue that I'm having for other reasons.
Well, hopefully next week we can get into it more.
Yeah, well, the beta's closed.
I wonder if it's a NVIDIA issue, because I took about an hour and a half just trying to stream Resident Evil 7 when I had already been streaming it. I'm not sure if there were recent updates or drivers involved or if I did something with my computer, but it would stream any other game except for Resident Evil 7 and Conan Exiles, which we'll get into further. And I had to monitor capture in order to stream, which is not ideal at all for streaming for many reasons. But when I went into the NVIDIA updates, I downloaded a new update, and for some reason it said it had particular tweaks for titles such as Resident Evil 7 and Conan.
It didn't work well with your setup.
It didn't. It played the game. It worked fine on my computer, but it would not be recognized by any version of OBS.
Patches that fuck up what's already been working is the one of the most frustrating things.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm not sure if it is a patch related issue for new release titles, because those are two very new release titles that the games work themselves, but would not be recognized as an actual game capture.
Well, NVIDIA always updates drivers based on new games that come out. They call it game-ready drivers.
Yes.
So when a big title comes out, they'll release a special set of drivers that specifically targets that game and makes it run better. I have no idea what that means for streaming, though. Like, that could be a completely different thing. I've found that's different per game. Like, I've noticed, like, some games do not like to get captured by OBS, and they need the to do a screen capture on them, or they get finicky in some weird way.
Tag Laura's asking, do you use OBS?
OBS is what I use.
That's pretty much the standard, right? OBS or...
It's the easiest, and
game,
it's free.
What's the other one? A lot of XSplit, I think, is a popular
XSplit
one.
XSplit I used
to
use, but
it
and it also used up a lot of your CPU.
All right. Well, what about you guys? What have you guys been playing?
I got a ton of games that I tip my dough.
Tip my dough. We both played Poi. So let's talk about Poi a little bit.
Skydiver, I think, asked this.
No, Jens requested this on our Steam page. And by the way, side note, if you are interested in hearing us talk about a specific game, feel free to hit us up on our Steam group. We have a whole thread devoted to it. That's not to say we will play it, but that is
to say...
We actually
haven't plugged our Steam group for a long time.
No, we haven't.
If you're a new listener, we have a Steam group. We're like 1,600 strong, half of them Russian mafia people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool. We actually do respond, and anything you leave on there on any of the threads, I'll see, guaranteed.
Tom just today posted up a new request.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that one? Panty party.
Yeah,
where you'd so like a third person shooter, but you play as panties.
Yeah.
So
this, we'll get around. Tell me more about Poi. It looks adorable, and if it's co-op, I would be interested in playing something like
that. I did not see any co-op in this game.
No, there's no co-op. I thought it was too. The way. I was excited about that. Basically, there's no ifs, ands, or buts here. This is exactly Super Mario 64, 100%. He does the same three triple jump, the yahoo, yaha, yaha, and he does the like the side, exact same animations, everything. Just not, it's not as nearly as good as Nintendo did 15 years ago, unfortunately.
Well, okay, first of all, this is probably a very small development group.
Yeah,
creating this game.
I'm just saying... This is good for somebody who didn't play Super Mario 64.
And I completely disagree with you. The setup is similar to Super Mario 64.
It is 100%
the
same game.
The thing about this game is you are doing a run, and they set up these levels, and you're doing a run, and then afterwards it's got a leaderboard. And so it's one of these games that... It's that you can try to perfect your run to get the best score on these leaderboards as possible.
This sounds a lot like that shooter game. What was that one?
Planet.
Yeah, Lovely Planet.
Lovely Planet.
It sounds a lot like that, and it kind of looks like it, too.
But I enjoyed it for the hour I played it, but after a while, I was just like, I'm not really interested, because I'm not interested in doing speed runs, and that this game was made to make speed runs. Like, I did one of the challenge modes.
It's like a time trial game. That's really all there is to it.
Yeah, and it's all set up around it. So you can go to... the same world, and it's set up slightly different because you need to get the objective in one place versus another place.
Yeah.
So it's fun, but I wasn't really thrilled with it.
I can understand that, because time trial games, they're innately stressful.
Like, yes, they are.
They're not a game that you can kind of relax and kind of chill out and play.
So there's unlockables, and you can earn... You're picking up coins along the way, and you can earn these unlockables. So it's set up third person.
Is there much story?
Not really.
The
story is very bare bones. Basically, like, you're a kid that runs away, you're an orphan that runs away, and this guy finds you, and he's
and
an explorer.
Time for adventure.
Yeah, and it's time for an adventure, and suddenly you're off on these adventures.
Yeah.
Collecting these medals that are randomly placed around the world and shit. It has interesting things to do with up and down, like height. Like, a lot of times you'll drop...
Verticality.
Yeah, verticality. A lot of times you'll drop really far, and like the open world, you can like basically fly around. So it was kind of interesting in that respect, but very simplistic graphics. Not bad, but nothing that, you know, would really impress you all that much. So
I'm definitely getting a Super Mario 64.
Yeah,
exactly what it is.
Yeah.
The controls are exactly...
But there's no open world in this. Like, I mean, it's very, like, you have a, you've got a hub, and then you pick your...
That's exactly how Super Mario 64, you jump into the paintings.
Yeah.
There's a hub.
Oh, okay.
Museum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Exactly what it is.
Okay, right. Fair enough.
So this game's going for $15. I'm guessing that's not a strong recommendation.
I would.
If you never played Super Mario 64, I mean, it was a great game. I loved it. This isn't nearly as good, but, you know, it's a small developer. You just got to say they brought Super Mario 64 to PC. If you never played it or you're nostalgic for it, go for this. Otherwise, I don't see it. I can't recommend it.
And the other thing is, if you're into like the speed runs and that kind of style game, and you're into like trying to shave half seconds off your runs and stuff like that, this game is perfectly set up for that. So if you're into that style of game, I would say that it's well worth the $15 because it does it and it does it well. But you know, obviously, I'm not that kind of player. So
you guys definitely used your controllers for this.
I used the controller.
Okay.
Sure. And speaking of controllers, I played Downwell on the PC for the first time. I'd played it on.
Can you look that up, Bobby?
So I played it on the phone, on mobile a lot. And I was like, let me see how much better or worse it is on the PC. It's almost exactly the same game. There's a little bit more you can do on the PC version. This is a game that looks like an original Nintendo game, or maybe even Atari. Like, the graphics are horrendous. But it's an action game where you're falling constantly, and you're trying to keep your combos up by stopping on people's heads. And then you use your gun not as much. Well, personally, I don't use it as much to kill as to float, so that you can head stomp the next guy and you can kind of see it refills your bullets if you head stomp something. So you're kind of using your gun to levitate or kill.
That's fun. I like
but
that.
But you're making these decisions super quick. And the other thing that I like is the whole game is set up for you to set up combos. So right there where he went into the store, like there's a bubble, there's a time bubble that pauses your combo. So if you have five, a combo ends when you touch the ground. But if you go into one of these time bubbles, it saves it until you jump out of the time bubble. And then when you finish the level, it'll still continue your combo into the next level. So 1-1, if you have five combo, it's all about combos, obviously. And you go right there, there's a time bubble, boom. You start the next level, you're still going with the same combo.
But why do you want big combos? Just to get a bigger score?
Bigger score, more power. You know, with more combo, you get more combo kind of thing.
So
I like that. So his guns are actually the soles of his shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really neat.
Oh, and at the end of every level, you have one of three, like, mutations, I guess, that you could add that kind of help you with the whole thing.
So it's listed as $2.99 on Steam. Would you say it's worth the
$2.99? Yeah, for sure. It's fun. It's fun.
Was it $2.99 on mobile as well?
Yeah, it was good on mobile, too.
No, I mean, was it $2.99 or was it free?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
This game has popped up in a couple of bundles. I remember buying this when it first came out. There was a lot of press about this, a lot of buzz about this game when it first came out. PC Gamer, other places were talking about it. And I really enjoyed it, but, like, I don't know. It was just... It was a tough game.
It definitely seems like a game you'd play on the, you know, SNES. Mm-hmm.
It's like a roguelike. Like, or maybe once even you die, like, game over. You know, you got to start again. Now, there is some progression. Like, you can unlock color schemes and, like, different...
Styles.
Yeah, styles, like the way your character looks. Because the game is very simple when it comes...
No, it's not just look.
Not just look.
So there's four styles, but they affect
you. Oh, yeah. So you can change like kind of how your character is. But the color scheme is very simple. It's white, black, and red. And then like kind of a shade in between red and black. So you can switch that up with other colors. But it's a very, very simple design. And it's vertical gameplay. You're just following the entire game. It almost feels like Metroid.
But it is fun, but it's fast-paced. So there's inherent stress in this game for sure. And it's very difficult. Very, very difficult.
What about Dig Dug? Have you guys played that? Would you say it's somewhat similar?
Well, that's an old
Dig
game.
Dug's more Dig like Dug? A...
Dig Dug is
like
slower.
Bomberman.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Isn't Dig Dug like Bomberman?
I'm surprised they haven't redone
You do go
Bomberman.
Downwards.
This is like super
game.
Fast.
Well, Dig Dug, you went down, but you also had to go like to the
you
right.
You had to drill your way through certain areas.
I don't think I've ever played that game, by the way.
It's good dog shit.
Wow.
It's an old game.
How
that game's like
30, 40
years old.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say Galaga is dog shit. That's a fun game. Anyway, I can recommend this for $3.
All right.
There's poop in my soup. I played it based on the title.
Oh, gosh. I thought you were actually just saying.
No.
That's funny. Bobby, can you...
It's funny because the like reviews weren't bad. So I was like, okay, I'm going to download it. And then the game was not so great.
It was pretty shitty.
It was pretty shitty.
That's what you want to say.
Look at that. That's why he gets the big bucks, folks.
Well, with a title like that.
So you guys are seeing pretty much the entire game right here. Well, with a little bit of pull away. So you're a baby, I guess, or a kid that's naked on a clothesline, and there's a bunch of people walking around, and you poop on them. And you get extra points for getting combos and specific targets.
This looks horrible.
It's really bad. Oh, I never got the diarrhea, though. That looks awesome.
That changes everything.
But why is it coming out of his mouth?
It's just poor animations, dude. It's not really, I don't think.
Okay.
His mouth is kind of like a butt.
He has an anus.
But you got to assume, when I see a game like this, and the reviews are very positive on Steam, like I just automatically assume that all the reviews are just like...
Reviews, right?
Troll reviews, people trying to be funny, just not legit in any way. Let's take a gander here. Pooping on people's heads is fun, I guess. Thumbs up. See?
Wow.
There you go. Insightful.
What I did like is the music gets louder and more upbeat for every combo you get. So, like, the first person you poop on, it's like, and then you get somebody else, it adds to the beat. And then by the time you're, like, seventh one, it's a full-on dubstep song. But if you fuck up the...
Is there any skill element to this game?
Yeah, it's actually hard to hit. But that's not...
You have a limited number of poops?
No. Yes, but also your aimer is really hard to see. Like, it doesn't do it justice, that bright light. Everything's really bright, so you can barely see that light. Anyway, it's not worth talking about. It's 50 cents.
It's 50 cents. Head. I'm actually surprised considering the animation and artwork of the game.
You can get it for the bundle for $2.52, and that comes with a bunch of different poop ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's all the games by this developer.
Poop-related games.
And two out of the four games they've made are poop-related.
I get all the poop that I need out of Binding of Isaac.
Okay, fair enough. What else did we play?
Age of Gladiators is a simulation game about gladiators. I was like, hey, man, wouldn't it be cool? And then FigSack found one, and then he
wouldn't what be cool?
Link.
Let me know how this...
A simulation of gladiators where you, like, you raise up a gladiator through...
Okay.
Yeah, right?
So you're not actually playing the game, it's a simulation?
But goddamn, guys, I need more.
Fight what, Punch Club?
Yeah, but unlike Punch Club, no story, no animations, no nothing. It's literally, you're a slave master, here's your money, go. You got to go to the marketplace, you got to go here, but when I say go, it's just tabs.
It's like Gladiator Tycoon?
Less. I mean, there's maybe like...
Like an Excel doc.
Yeah, that's what. And then when people fight, there's like some audio. It goes, ooh, yeah. It's pretty bad. I mean,
is it the type of game you could download on what you would say your TI-83?
Yeah,
back in the day,
for sure.
Almost GTA was on. They had a.
Oh, they had an AMA.
Yeah, I got that in GTA. The news.
Age of Gladiators, $1.99.
No, it was $10, wasn't it?
Oh, it's 80% off right now.
Fuck me. God damn it.
Oh, wow. You bought it for 10 bucks?
Yeah. God damn it.
And no, for no animations.
I love it.
It's basically like...
Would you have been happy about $1.99?
No.
So it wasn't even worth $1.99 and you paid $9.99 for it?
No.
Oh, man. I love it.
I mean, some people, some like number heads might like this, but if I wanted to deal with this many numbers, I'd just do the stock market. Like, I don't know.
Gotcha.
I need a little more. I need some Punch Club type stuff.
Like a little bit of story.
Something.
And inside.
Something, yeah.
Okay.
It might be good. I mean, the simulation might be great. The numbers might be practical. But as far, I just need a little more flavor.
Okay. And that was Age of Gladiators, right?
Yeah. What's up with Derpstick's PAX review?
I just wanted to bring this up real quick. Sometimes I don't like to listen to the podcast very often, but I'll usually try to listen to interviews or whatever we do with our listeners because I just want to hear what's going on and what's all. I just wanted to say, give a shout out to Derpstick and say he did an excellent job on his PAX review. And I also wanted to say that motherfucker has got a sultry voice. And why is it that all of our listeners sound better than me? Like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, how did we just hit the fucking mother load of sexy sounding men in our fucking listenership? What's going on there?
Well, because all of their voices look as good as their faces, Chad. Okay. So
fair enough.
Listen to us because they feel sorry for our voices.
Yeah, it must be. Because I don't know what's going on here. And so I just wanted to give a shout out to Derpstick. If you didn't hear, he was on, it was on the end of last week's episode. He told us about PAX, a lot of cool stuff coming out. Got me excited about some of the stuff that was coming out.
I was surprised to hear that I guess I'm not surprised. I don't know what I feel about this, but they're still promoting Dreadnought. I feel like that game,
it's not out yet, that's why.
Yeah, but we've been hearing about Dreadnought for like 2 years now, I feel like. I don't know.
You'd still promote it as much.
Well,
as
yeah, absolutely.
Out.
But I'm afraid that it's going to be one of those games that just spends such a long time being promoted and being hyped that by the time it comes out, people are already kind of over it.
I think
something that happened was, hey, let's make a game instead of fighters, your capital ships. And they're like, oh, that sounds cool. And they had no idea what they're signing up for. It's one of those hard.
I really think it's one of those ones though, where it's like, we're going to start promoting it a year before it comes out. And then the development stretches another 2 years. And now you're like, you've been hyping it up for 3 years now just because development got slowed down. I think that's what's going on there. Because I've been in the closed beta of that for like 6 months at least.
That beta, you're still able to play in the beta? Wow. Oh, I thought that was a limited time.
I haven't played in a couple months, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's
I
closed
check
down.
It out. Just launch it when we get home.
Yeah.
Well, for the full PAX story, check out last week's episode. I guess I'll talk about Project Hi-Rise real quick. This is a game I just started playing. This game was nominated for the Games for Change Award at the Video Game Awards last year, which put it on my radar back then. And I had a feeling it would be one of these games showing up in a bundle sooner or later. And sure enough, it was on the Humble Bundle Monthly. If you haven't signed up for that, it is actually a pretty good deal. Every month you spend $10 or $12 and you get a pack of games. And these games, like this month, XCOM 2 was in there. Project Hi-Rise was in there. I can't remember.
Warhammer
Vermintide was in last month.
No, like, this one had the Vermintide, the RTS that just came out, the good one. The one where it's like...
The one that imitates the board game? That one?
No.
I don't know if that was in the monthly bundle. But they have quality games. Like, I buy a lot of games on bundle sites. Most of them are garbage. But Humble Bundle has the highest standards when it
comes to
this stuff.
Sanctus Reach, is that the one?
No.
Oh, that's the one.
One with magic, and you can play as the different races, and it plays a lot like StarCraft. Fuck, man.
I don't, dude, there's so many Warhammer games that you're just like grasping.
Sanctus Reach is the new one. Oh, are you talking about the one that was Warhammer, not Warhammer 40K?
Yeah.
They did the Rome one, and they did... Fuck, what was that one called?
Total War, yes.
Total War.
Rome Total War. I mean...
I think this is actually for next month. They always advertise, like, the big game.
Oh, Total War Warhammer
is
next month.
So if you subscribe now, then you will get Total Warhammer earlier than when the rest of the bundle unlocks. But this bundle... Mad Max was in there. Rocket League was in there one month.
So it's $12 a month. Is that how it works? $12 a month.
If you sign up for like more than 1 month, then you can get.
Oh, then you can get it cheaper.
Yeah, you get it a little bit cheaper.
And I think they do a good job of giving you the first game that's worth the $12 right up front.
Yeah.
Right. So like XCOM was worth $12, and then you get five other games that are how shitty, Bobby, on the shit-o meter.
As shitty as it gets is probably like. Your $3, but they aren't like shitty like the other bundle sites
like
where the games
Gladiators.
Are half playable. No, not Age of Gladiators, but also they're doing referral links on the Humble Bundle Monthly, so maybe I'll whip up a code here and then I get like $5 off on their store.
Well,
but anyway.
I'm down to sign up, I think.
Yeah, it's totally worth it. Or you can get it from me when I give games away. But I started playing Project Hi-Rise, and this is... These types of games that I like where...
Can we take a look at it?
Yeah, I'll bring it up so you can get a visual of it. But these are the kind of games that I often find myself playing where it's a simulation management style game. In this case, you are managing a high-rise or a building, and you can have tenants that are residential or office or like a commercial like food, and you have to run electricity, power, water to various units. You have to keep your renters happy, all this kind of stuff. Very simple kind of, like, I want to say simple graphics, but not like 8-bit, not like super dumbed down. It's almost got an artistic style to it, mm-hmm. like this, the type of shading that they use. And it is fun. Like, it is, I played a couple hours of it, and it's very...
I think that's your building.
It's probably addictive in the right way.
Yeah. What's the challenge
on it? I do
like this.
Project High-Rise.
It's like any other management game, not, you know, balancing your budget, not going broke.
It looks a lot like Fallout Shelter.
Yeah.
This War of Mine.
Visually very similar to Fallout Shelter. Now, you can build up, but you can also build down. And I think there's certain units that you can't build underneath. But what I tried doing at first is, like, I'm just going to make, like, a business front, and then I'm going to have this entire, like, giant cluster of things going on underneath it. So it's like you walk in and you take an elevator, and then, like, boom, there's, like, all this crazy shit down below. But my underground base didn't really work out, so I'm trying a new method.
But you were doing that one more for fun than actually.
Yeah, thinking. I was just screwing around with that.
If I were to play a game like this, I would basically want to optimize profits. I'd just go for how much money I can make. And are there leaderboards or anything like that?
I don't know. There's two kinds of modes. There's, like, a free mode where you're just trying to build a unit and you put it on various difficulty settings. And then there's a scenario mode where they give you, like, okay, you are trying to accomplish a goal here.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, you were trying to run an apartment complex or something like that. But there's no leaderboards or anything like that. And I haven't gotten to the point with the game where I've kind of, like, tapped out, where I've built as big as I can get and I'm making all this money. Because eventually with all these types of simulation management games, at least, like, the not so great ones, there's always a point that you hit where you've just accomplished everything and there's no point in continuing to play. You're basically just stacking up more money than you can even spend. So I don't know what the end game is like for this, but I this is definitely something I'll be playing in between rounds of Heroes of the Storm.
Hey, Bobby, did the management game that Derpstick brought up, didn't that sound kind of interesting? That planet management, God Sim?
Which one was that, Ruiner?
What? No, not Ruiner.
No, that was the first one he talked about. Yeah. What was
you
the
probably
name
didn't
of
look
that
it
one?
Up. It sounded pretty cool.
It was like Project Universe.
Universe Sim. One word.
Yeah. When I heard him talk about it, for some reason, Sim Earth kept popping in my mind. And that was, like, one of the worst Sim games. So I don't know. I was kind of off-put by it, but I should look into that and actually see what the game looks like.
So, question, Bobby. I see it listed Project High-Rise, $20 here. You said you got this on the bundle, the monthly bundle?
Yeah.
But if I sign up for the monthly bundle, do I get the one you just got? Or do I sign up for the next bundle?
I think if you sign up now, you get next month's bundle. I don't think you can still get it at that price.
Okay.
And this is the only time. So in this month's February bundle, subscribe to get the next one. So Rise, Son of Rome, XCOM 2, Abzu, I've been looking forward to playing.
I've been wanting to play that.
SteamWorld Heist.
Why did I say XCOM 2, though?
XCOM 2 is in the bundle as well.
For next month?
No, this month.
My bad.
Okla Omega? I don't know. See, these are the kind of the games that are not as good. These are kind of the...
That's still like an amazing deal.
Yeah. SteamWorld Heist. I mean, that's a good deal.
Damn, I should have done it with the XCOM one.
Hollow Knight. Yeah, I definitely recommend...
So there's like 5 or 6 games you get every month then? Is that how big the monthly one is?
About 5 or 6 games. Okay. And they give you the one early. So
that's
it's
awesome.
Totally worth it. But yeah, Project High-Rise, if you're into those sim games, I know someone was asking a couple weeks ago when I talked up Punch Club a lot. They played through it, loved it, were looking for something similar. This game is not very similar to Punch Club. It doesn't have all the elements that it does, like the story. And
tell them to check out Age of Gladiators, right? For $1.99, you can't go wrong.
Fuck you.
I don't know what game I could really compare this to, but... I didn't play Fallout Shelter, so I can't compare to that. But I do like this game.
When you were looking at Age of Gladiators, the most recent review had a thumbs down. I was just thinking, he probably bought it for $1.99 and gave it a thumbs down. I hate it 5 times more worse.
Oh, goodness.
The binary system is so difficult for someone reading those reviews. It's like it's either good or bad, a thumbs up or a thumbs down. There's no middle ground. There's no degree.
But through tons of those, you end up getting a pretty decent number.
Yeah.
I don't know. I played Utopia 9. which is a kind of like a, it's a twin stick shooter, roguelike.
Did you ever pay for this one too?
No, I played. I played it off of someone else's account. It's at first I was like, okay, good production value, good graphics for a twin stick shooter roguelike, nice sound. I was digging it, and I liked the controls. Everything was good, and they did the cardinal sin in roguelikes. The levels aren't randomized, but the creature placement is. But the creatures aren't. It's the same three character models. It's down the same alleyways. Like, it's really repetitive.
Oh, and gotcha.
It loses it really fast. And that, if you're making a roguelike, like a true roguelike, like what this is trying to do, you need random levels and you need random creatures. All kinds of crazy shit. And this was just too, it almost felt like a regular game that was too hard. You know, like it was trying to kill you. And there's progression. You know, you get this green stuff that you can buy stuff with. Oh, you know, it was a lot like, what do you call it, too?
Helldivers, maybe? Or
no. Yeah, the controls were a lot like Helldivers, actually. But it was like Nuclear Throne.
Oh, gotcha.
Where you get mutations every once in a while.
I mean, it looks kind of cool. It's bright and colorful.
Yeah, it's great. It looks great, all this stuff. But
yeah. What was that Valve game that was a... the shooter we played.
Oh yeah, right? Fuck! What was that one
I
called?
Know what
it's
you're
like
talking
Alien
about.
Or
Alien Swarm,
Alien,
right?
Alien Swarm. Yeah, yeah. Better than I played this. That one.
Okay. Even though that was linear and that was preset up,
that had different classes and.
Although there was four players in this, and you know, I played with Sam, and she found it too difficult. So maybe it would have been more fun with more, but I don't know.
You know what my favorite twin stick shooter game is? I realized this because I started playing Neon Chrome, which looks a lot like this Utopia 9 game. It's very neon, very 80s, very futuristic, sci-fi or cyberpunk. I started playing that, and I was just like, you know, this is good, but I played it before, and I went back to Full Mojo Rampage.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I really liked that game. And then I stayed up way too late watching like two documentaries on voodoo on YouTube for some reason. Like, it got me in the zone.
That's their developer?
No, voodoo is...
He means like the magic?
Oh, real voodoo.
actual voodoo.
Like the religion or whatever?
Shit. It's like, what's the deal with this voodoo anyway? Because you always hear people throw that word out there, but what does it really mean?
You went down a rabbit
hole. Two documentaries later, I could tell you, but I won't get into it. Wow. But Full Mojo Rampage, like, I really liked that game.
Yeah, we played that for
really
a while.
It's different than a lot of these other twin stick shooters, but I don't know. That one just was hit me.
I don't know why it didn't click with me. Yeah, we played it one night, and then that was pretty much it.
What, Full Mojo?
Yeah.
It got repetitive for me, but... Bobby was really
doing that. it was repetitive, but it had that progression where you play through a map and then you like can boost your character. So I really got into that, and then you could choose different what are they called, luas or whatever the spirit thing is.
Yeah, that's right.
I'd be down for another round of that.
Yeah, we should give that another shot on a listener game day.
She can join too.
Yeah.
All right. What else did we play?
Final Fantasy VII.
So this is going to be quick. I saw Bobby had Final Fantasy VII on his list, on his games, and I've never actually played Final Fantasy VII, and most people...
Is this the one that was Final Fantasy III in the United States?
No, this is Final Fantasy VII.
With Cloud.
Oh, okay, yeah, never
played. The most famous one.
Yeah, everybody says it's the best one, and so I wanted to... I've never played it before, and I wanted to give it a go, so I booted it up on Family Share from you. And so I played a couple hours worth of it, and I enjoyed it. But the whole time I was thinking to myself, they're doing the remake, and the remake.
Why would you get into it?
Well, because the remake's not going to be on PC. They're not doing the PC version of this. So if I want to talk Final Fantasy VII, I got to play the old version. So I was playing it, and I was enjoying it. But the whole time I was thinking, I really want to play the remake when it comes out.
Those graphics are rough.
It is rough, but at the same time, it's kind of got this interesting feel. Like, it's animated characters, but then it's on this... They basically put it on a background.
A 3D background.
Small 3D characters on a 2D background, right?
The background is done in 3D, and then they basically take a picture of it. And so it looks 3D, but it's a picture, and your guys run around on top of it. Mm. So...
Never beat this game.
I was enjoying it, but I decided after an hour or two that I was going to just stop and play the remake and just enjoy the remake. And I guess I won't be able to talk about it on this podcast since it's not PC related, but I'll just enjoy the remake.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I would say a lot of people would be interested in the Final Fantasy VII remake because I imagine a lot of PC gamers did embellish into the Final Fantasy series, played Final Fantasy VII, being the most popular, not, in my opinion, the best Final Fantasy, but it was a good RPG, but not the best at Square Enix.
Nobody cares about mobile, and you won't shut up about that.
Oh, I do have some mobile to talk about. I forgot to mention on the show notes. Oh, by the way, the other thing that brought me down is I couldn't figure... I don't think you can do controllers... It doesn't have controller support. So you have to use the mouse. You have to use just the keyboard because it doesn't support the mouse.
How'd that go?
And it's like, you know, it's using the arrow keys, which is your right hand.
No mouse?
No mouse.
Oh, shit.
So I was like... If it at least had a controller support, I would have been a little bit more okay with it. But
yeah,
they managed to fuck up all these PC versions of Final Fantasy games. I mean, the Final Fantasy III version that they put on Steam, I'm okay with. They redid the graphics on it. They changed some of the text. Like if you play the original NES version, it feels like games did at that time where they had the dialogue that was Japanese translated to English.
Yeah.
And someone in Japan did a really bad job writing English text, but they've kind of cleaned that stuff up and polished it a little too much in a lot of people's opinions for the Final Fantasy III PC version on Steam. And it feels like they just never get this right. And I tried to get into this one, but I don't know. I was never a real big Final Fantasy fan. And as soon as I did, a friend of mine who's a huge fan, it's like, oh, no, you don't play that version. This is what you got to do. You got to download this, and then you got to get the mod for that, and then you got to get the plugin for this. And, like, you know, there's like...
For this game?
Yeah, for this game, because this is like the holy grail of all Final Fantasy games, according to a lot of people. So to get the true experience, you know, the
and
true experience that holds the... I mean, it kind of scared me. I mean, I wasn't that interested in playing the game in the first place, so yeah. I don't know.
I think I scared a lot of people off of Skyrim, because I was like, no, dude.
Yeah,
you can't play like that.
You gotta do that.
Watch my video on YouTube. It has 13 views.
That's exactly why I've halted my Skyrim endeavors. Yeah. Outside of Resident Evil 7 being as tempting as it is, I decided that before I play Skyrim again, I was going to download some mods because it would be much more enjoyable that way. And it might be worth the time. Final Fantasy 7, though, since I did play on console and I still own a hard copy version of the original Final Fantasy 7, when I did play it on PC, I just... took it for what it was, even though it wasn't as good as the original console experience.
It's got, somehow it only has 13 views, but 14 thumbs down. I don't know how that happened, but check it out.
So Fastidious says Final Fantasy III is better. Any Final Fantasy heads?
I play Final Fantasy III.
Fastidious says
love
a lot of things.
Love Final Fantasy III.
Final Fantasy III is technically 6, right?
I don't know.
The actual, because it's different in
no,
Japan.
No, I think you're confusing Final Fantasy IV.
I'm going to bring this up right now. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
I didn't know it was this complicated.
No, it is. Final Fantasy games are so messed up.
Which one was 6
on Steam is... Okay, this to me is Final Fantasy III on the Super Nintendo.
Is that the one that has the airship and you fly around in the airship?
Yeah.
That's Final Fantasy III to me.
Yeah, it's
got... Okay. So, but this is called because the PC versions are the Japanese.
This is not Final Fantasy III to me. I'm sorry.
In Japan, where these games were made, they had a different order to the game.
Yes, because we missed like the first three. So our Final Fantasy, what we called Final Fantasy, was actually like their Final Fantasy IV or something like that, right?
Yeah. And they all have a guy named Sid. That's true for some reason. I've only played one to any great extent.
did you guys? I was playing Final Fantasy VII, and they have like two characters. Oh, fuck, I forget their names at the very beginning. And but it was basically they're playing off of, I think it was a Star Wars reference or something like that. Do you remember that? When you first blow up the station, you're with like four or five people and they're all talking. And the names are, Biggs. It was like Biggs and Wedge or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like they were both like, you know, Star Wars references.
In Final Fantasy III, there's a trooper named Wedge. I can't remember what the other guy's name is. It might be Biggs. But yeah, I think they have a lot of little stuff like that in these Final Fantasy games.
This just in, we have a new Patreon guy, Taylor. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much.
Awesome. Make sure to put your address in there. I'll send you a t-shirt.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
That was a hot take.
That's a first and only, probably, like, this just in.
Beep, 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 beep.
That's hilarious. Okay, do we have anything else that we're talking about? Oh, Conan Exiles.
Oh, right. Moving on to my big story this week. So, stream this week, Conan Exiles. It was, a lot of people have been playing it on Twitch, and it's in beta right now. It's going for $29.99. And I bought it. I bought it for $30 because my first game I've ever streamed was DayZ. I've played H1Z1. I generally like these type of games. I think other games that people are playing right now that are similar. Is it Ark? That is somewhat similar to this.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people were comparing this game to Ark.
Yeah, so...
Not Rust with the Dick Simulator?
So much so, and I hate to cut you off, but I got to throw this in. So much so that when Conan Exiles was released, Ark had a special. They were like a third of the price. They were having like a big, you know, get it now blowout sale, like trying to compete and draw people away from this game.
That's awesome. Well, I have not played Ark. But I did at least get about an hour into Conan, and I'll be completely honest, the way people swayed me to pick up and play this game was because they told me the character creation actually had a portion where you can increase your breast size and or, you know, endowment size, which are, you know, the male genitalia parts. When I first played
it's called
dick,
a dick.
Big or little. That's what she's trying to say.
Yes, exactly. But
girthier? Can you increase girth or just length?
Let's not go too much into detail with that because that is coming out. That's coming up. Let's just go into like my experience playing the game.
Just for the dick.
So the original experience.
Like ball size.
Me, yes. The original experience, me playing this game, I made a female character. I made her with a unibrow, actually. And
tickle bitties though?
No, medium.
Okay.
Medium. Fair enough. I don't really like big tits.
Okay.
So you're thrown into the game. The intro is whoever you are, you were saved by Conan. You're on a cross, just slowly dying, and then he saves you, and you're basically meant to, you have a second chance at life, and now it's your turn to, like, you know, carve your own path. And you end up alone in the desert, and you have a letter and then a pouch of water, and that's it. So you start off with absolutely nothing, and you run into the desert oasis and kind of like learn your way up. You collect material.
Are you seeing a bunch of players? I'm
sorry. My goal in the game, I guess, was like, okay, I need to go to an area where it's more populated because I'm a woman and I need to find my big, strong man. So I was running around. Okay, when I
with
play games
unibrow.
Like this, yeah,
with a unibrow.
With my unibrow, my purpose of the game.
To tell ya,
my purpose.
You're not
going to
get a whole lot of help.
No, my purpose of the game was to find a big, strong man to look me like right in the middle of my unibrow. That was.
Okay. Like
that's me when I play games like this. When
that's
you play
you
DayZ, when
love.
You play H1Z1, it's all about the, you know, not just like building an environment, but also how you interact with others socially. There are a lot of different modes to this. There's PvE, PvP. I think
do
there's
you
some.
You pick your server? Is that how that
yeah,
works?
You pick your server. Okay. And also there's role playing in this as well. There's a casual mode. So there's so many ways about going and playing this game, and there are different servers that are up. When you play the game, since it is in beta, and they did not expect the, I think over 50,000 people were playing this game. So it was very choppy, very laggy. Mm. And so a lot of the things I was doing, I would warp. It's a rubber, basically you're rubber banding the whole game.
Oh, yeah.
But needless to say, the graphics are really nice. Character creation is nice too. I went in there, I didn't do much. I fought some things with my bare fists, learned the hard way. And then I eventually poisoned myself by eating raw meat and
like
died
do.
Of thirst.
Wait,
even
so
though my
this...
water pouch was full, and I managed to come across one naked gentleman. And I followed him for about just a couple feet, screaming at him, "Are you my big strong man? Are you my big strong man? I need my big strong man." And he just ran away from me. So very ineffective initial impression of the game. And then it crashed on me, so I didn't even get to build a weapon or even a fire and make it much beyond that. And then I, after the game crashed on me, I was like, okay, let's play some Resident Evil. But then I come back to the game and I was like, okay, time to play a male character. And this is where I get banned on Twitch. And it was a 24-hour suspension. So don't worry, guys. Smoochie is still around. If you guys don't know what my Twitch channel is, it's twitch.tv/SMOOXCHI. And so the second time around, I was already drunk. I was playing Resident Evil 7 drunk, and I was drinking the whole night. So I was like, let's have fun. Let's build a male character. And I named him T-Bone. And who I think is known for his long dick style YouTube videos. Do you know? Have you heard about him?
No.
I think he goes around yelling at people saying, "I'm gonna fuck your wife, long dick style." and then he says like a lot of stuff, a lot of other shit. He's actually really entertaining. So
sounds hilarious.
So I decided to make a rendition of him in this video game, so I could run around. Screaming the same shit, right?
So you did long dick style, is what you
said. So I went in there.
It's telling that you made a medium-breasted woman, but the biggest dick you could possibly swing.
Yes. And so I maximized the endowment meter. I made sure I was in a server that actually showed nudity. And I thought it would be okay, because on Twitch, everybody else was doing it. Everybody was streaming.
Everybody was doing it.
Everybody, at least on Conan, there was plenty enough people just jumping, swimming, and like dick flailing left and right. So my mistake, and this is why I got the ban hammer, is because after making my character, I got hungry and I didn't really feel like playing the game, but I felt like zooming in on his taint. So it was basically like the entire screen
and
making dick jokes for about an hour. That was my fault. I wasn't actually playing the game. And Max,
that was clearly Twitch's fault. Clearly.
And then I was hungry. So went in the fridge, had some pre-sliced watermelon.
Dick waving
started
in the
eating,
wind.
Yeah. Started eating that. And then Max was like, you know what? Let me cook up some steak. I'm like, okay, I can't pass that up. So while I'm eating my watermelon, you cook up the steak, honey, yada, yada. And then I realized, okay, wait, I've been just sitting here staring at this vibrating dick.
And, like you do.
As one does.
On a Friday night, as one does on a Friday night, you know. And then I was like, you know what? We're about to eat a meal. You have to switch to social eating when you're eating a meal. So I switched my game to social eating, but I didn't maximize my webcam. I left the Conan dick in the back. And so since I didn't follow the rules of social eating, they suspended my account for 24 hours.
Okay.
So
sense.
If I had stayed on Conan...
Wait, it didn't have to do with the dick?
You think?
You're not you're not supposed to show dick when you're on the social eating. People go to social eating.
Oh, gotcha.
But it was still
not
a video
expecting
game.
To see dick.
Which,
so wait, what's
which
social
is
eating?
Probably
so you
one.
Eat with other
it's
people?
Like a creative channel.
Yeah. So the rules of social eating, you have to be full screen and strictly just eating and socializing and interacting with your chat. Whereas me, I was doing all of that, but in the corner of my screen, because all I did was swap the game. I didn't swap the scene or anything like that. Mm. But if I had kept it on Conan Exiles, I most likely would have not had gotten suspended.
But you only got a 24-hour.
Because it's in the game, right?
And I'm so grateful that
game.
It was just a 24-hour suspension, because it easily could have been a ban, but it was allowed on Twitch, and other people were showing dicks everywhere.
So is this a crafting game, by the way?
It is.
Okay, so it's a crafting survival game a la Rust and all these other ones, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So that's what it is, and it was so choppy. It wasn't really... I couldn't really give you more of an impression of the game. I'll play it more, of course, guys, and let you know further on than my early shenanigans.
Sam and I were talking about like epitaphs for people that like had a horrible life. I think died with a full water or like a
died of thirst with
died
a full
of
water
with
skin.
A full water skin is a pretty good one. A couple other of us would be like, where were we? Oh, Chad Shoemaker. Swing and a miss.
Bobby, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
She is sorry for the dark cloud that's inevitably above this tombstone.
Exactly.
And Bobby. Wah, wah, wah.
I can take 100% fault. I didn't understand the rules and therefore was punished. But I enjoyed myself. Max was there with me.
You enjoyed getting punished.
But I was having such a good night. Getting the band hammer just cut it short.
Gotcha.
My viewers were enjoying it too. It was a commodity of a night, really, honestly.
Cool. Okay.
So,
cool.
I'm sorry, Twitch, though. I will never do it again.
Oh, shit. I forgot. We got lots of news. All right. We're going to burn through this real quick.
Are we going long? It doesn't feel like long.
No, we're at an hour, so we're right on time.
All right. Lucio coming to Heroes of Storm. Bobby, any thoughts on this?
They went about this unusual way. When they announce heroes, usually they try to give hints or leak information.
Tease it.
Tease it. But in this, they got the HGC going on right now, which is just weekends, just nonstop heroes competitive play. And then they just threw an ad up and like, boom, Lucio's coming, by the way. Just there it is. Like they threw it out there.
So when he's coming out, I'm super excited.
Yeah, it'll be cool. And like the abilities that they've shown off look unique. Like it's not just the same old, mechanics, just like taken from other heroes and thrown into the same or into one guy. So I'm happy about that. But I was listening to a HOTS podcast earlier today, and they said something that I've been feeling for a long time, and that is a new hero comes out every 3 weeks. It shakes up the meta, and it just changes the state of the game, and it's just been so volatile lately that I feel like I haven't had a chance to really focus on the game and get good at it because there's just not enough time to learn before a new hero is added, patches and balance changes and things just get changed up again. So I hope they move to like once a month because they're doing one every 3 weeks. And this was always a complaint I had with Smite. And a lot of people feel exactly the opposite of me.
Yeah,
they want new heroes coming in all the time. Yeah. I don't know.
I think in that respect, I think Heroes of the Storm is trying to build their stable up.
Well, for the longest time.
Yeah, like Dota and League of Legends, their whole ban system, like they have 5 bans and shit like that because they've got so many heroes. Mm-hmm. And I think the game works better if you have that big stable, and it kind of like really throws the meta around, you know, when you have that big stable and you have all these bans and stuff like that. It makes the drafting much more interesting. Heroes of the Storm, God bless it. I love watching Heroes of the Storm, but their drafting phase is abysmal, fucking abysmal. And that is my favorite part of watching competitive MOBAs. But they just don't have enough heroes, so every fucking... It's the same guys every time.
Well, they change it up per map. They have 9 different maps, so depending on what map you
That's
play
true.
On,
that is slightly
you're,
different.
You're going to build a different
same
composition.
Guys on same maps.
But for the majority, the guys are good regardless of the map. Like, a Tassadar, for the old HGC, whatever, Tassadar is good no matter what map you're on.
Yeah.
Ragnaros is going to be played on 90% of the map.
I don't have a problem with more heroes. I'm concerned about the speed at which we're getting it because even with HGC going on, not only are things just changing up constantly every 3 weeks, but the professional scene always needs 2 weeks to adjust. So we're watching games where they're working on a patch that's 2 weeks old that doesn't have the new heroes, that has old balance updates.
Yeah.
Like before, they reworked Tassadar recently, so he plays completely differently
and
now.
That's...
And that disconnect, that dissonance there is...
I think
everybody has to deal with this, Bob, not just you, you know?
Yeah, but if they slow down, and that's an odd thing to request of a developer, like, hey, just slow down with all the balance updates and the patches and the heroes.
I think League does it really well. They do their 5 weeks, and then they do halfway through their season, there's a balance patch. And I think it, like, you get an extra week to like learn the new balance patch, and then they do their second half.
Eventually, I think heroes will get to that point. But we have over 60 heroes now, so we've got a healthy sized pool. I mean, back when it was like 30 or 40, they needed to pump those out left and right.
And I agree, but I also agree they need to change their draft thing. I really think you need to do a five hero ban, like similar to
that's others. A lot of bans for 60.
For 60, you're taking out.
I mean, you get 2 bans.
They need more than two.
I don't know. Well, okay, yeah. Whatever. There's very.
But I just wanted to give a shout out to the Mayo too. He's been playing some Heroes of the Storm with us. He's very new at the game, so he's having trouble learning just, you know, the mechanical abilities. So I've created my third Smurf account to be able to play with a lot of other people that I've been playing that have picked up the game.
I want to play tonight, Bobby. You gonna play tonight?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Bobby. Does it make you feel good to always win when you're in?
Well, here's the dealio.
There's a thing. Sometimes we're so bad, even with Bobby's good skill, we still lose.
Well, Bobby, would you ever stream HOTS?
Yeah, I was actually working on Twitch alerts today. I'm trying to make that a thing.
Yay!
I really do want to stream. I swear to God, I really want to stream. I just always turn on OBS. And I'm just like, look at my face. I'm like, oh God, I'm getting old. The years have not been kind.
You're so ridiculous.
Bobby.
Yeah, seriously.
You're very handsome. Well,
for all those people who want video content, this is exactly why we don't have video content.
Yeah,
right here.
Yeah. We talked this morning.
I can't get over my ego.
This afternoon, we were talking about doing video recording of our podcast so we can do some YouTube stuff, and Bobby gives this look on his face like, ooh, we might need to change some things up if we're going to do that.
It's like, let me get
right
the
there.
Studio.
It's very hard to look at Bobby.
Yeah,
well, none of us
he
are
needs
facing
the studio
Bobby
lighting.
Right now.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm waiting for my studio kits coming, guys, and then we'll start doing streaming.
It'll happen, and I really want to get to the position where during summer and I have a lot of time off, then I can really have a set schedule where I'm going to do it more often. But like I was saying, I've been playing with Mayo and a lot of new players, and it's really given me an opportunity to play the game at the lower level and with people who aren't good at the game, and find out what hero can you really carry with? Because I play some heroes and it doesn't make a difference. And then I play other heroes, and I found the one hero I can carry with at lower levels. Like, it does not matter what happens.
Wait, let me guess.
And I chunk them out. I just
It's either going to be Vala or Tracer.
No. It's, of all people, Chromie, who does insane damage from a large distance away. Because here's what you have to do when you play with very low-level people who are new at the game. And I'm not just talking about the people that are on my team. I'm talking about the other team as well. You
know, the poor souls that have to deal with Bobby's wrath.
And he giggles just like that when he kills him.
Well, Chromie, you play her very far back, and you throw your long-range abilities. So what you end up doing is just letting all the people like do whatever they want to do in the middle, and I'm just dumping damage from far away. Just boom, boom, and people are dying. And what happens if I play it?
They don't know to target you.
Oh, they can't even see me. I'm way back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she has very long range for days.
Yeah, but she has no escape, so if you position incorrectly, you're dead. But if I play a tank, then I'll like step up, I'll stun a guy.
And you're the only one.
There he is, guys, let's kill him. And my team's just like, do-do-do-do-do. They're just running around. Like, but I just lined up this perfect kill. So you can't play a tank and carry. But it's been really good, too. Kind of playing on a new account and playing with new people and instructing them, because it's helped like me realize some stuff too and where I need to improve as well.
Are you going to make that third Smurf public to everybody so if other people want to play?
Oh yeah, absolutely. If you're new to HOTS, and like I am totally willing to like train people and help you out and figure out the game. And what I always tell people too, and I told the Mayo this, is I was exactly like you guys when I started playing this game. I had no experience in MOBAs, not a top down MOBA. Like the controls,
Smite was the only one that
you played. The whole QWER thing, like that was completely foreign to me, and I was pretty bad at the game, but like, you know, hey, 2 years later, look at me now.
Yeah.
Only top of the world, but not really.
But don't actually look at him.
Yeah, but don't. All right. I think I've got my HOTS fill in for this week. Let's talk some other news.
Yeah, what else?
The majority of console Overwatch players are on mouse and keyboard. Top players on console are playing on mouse and keyboard, which.
They didn't say the majority were on that. There is people suspect that that's what's going on, that why the top players are there, but there's no statistics or whatever. They can't determine it.
It's not the way I read the article.
Well, I read the whole article.
Well, I read parts of it. Yes, quickly.
Okay. It's very believable that this is the case.
Yeah, so Blizzard says that they denounced this and they have no first party support for mouse and keyboard, and so you have to go out and buy this thing. What's it called?
Zim 4.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the exact one, but whatever. It's like a
I've used it before.
It's a converter take mouse and keyboard.
Is this an actual Sony appliance?
No. This is a third party.
Off party, yeah.
So
and
games,
it's $150.
So games can support
a Zim with the Z
mouse and keyboard.
Or X. Yeah. XIM4.
Games can support mouse and keyboard, but if games don't support mouse and keyboard, the Zim 4 will simulate a controller, but done through a mouse and keyboard. So you plug mouse and keyboard in, and the game thinks you're on a controller, but you're actually on mouse and keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to stop this.
Yeah.
Like, gamers can't stop this. And so Blizzard...
They're smoking the guys on controllers.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? You're on controller plus. You're on mouse and keyboard with controller aim assist.
Oh, yeah.
You're fucking winning.
You did read the whole article.
Wait, consoles have aim assist?
Yeah, that's how usually
Overwatch?
Controllers work.
Yeah.
Like, it'll move your aim slightly. Yeah.
What, is that normal for, like, all first-person shooters?
Generally, controllers.
Like, competitive ones?
Yeah.
Versus?
Yeah.
That seems weird.
Yeah, because it's so hard on a controller that you need some.
Bobby, even crazier. So you would think aim assist helps you aim on the guy. No. If the guy's running, like strafing, it will aim assist to the point in front of him.
Auto-corrects.
Yeah. No, the point, like, you need to...
it won't aim to the guy. It'll aim to where...
Guy, right? It'll read the trajectory.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does it even, like, calculate, like, bullet drop and all that?
Probably. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyways, basically, Blizzard says we don't want controller in... We don't want mouse and keyboard on the consoles, but we have no way to control it. It's a hardware setting. It's hardware related, and the platform has to police it. So they've politely asked the different consoles to help them on it, but they said, you know, they encouraged the other gamers to also put their support in for it, but they said do it respectfully, you know, like, you know, Sony and Microsoft are big console makers, and they don't want you just yelling at them. So, but they were saying, yeah, basically they don't want mouse and keyboard in consoles, but they have no way to control it.
Hmm. Sticking with Blizzard, WoW tokens a while back, probably a year ago, I think.
Oh yeah, more than that.
You could turn WoW tokens into your monthly bill, so you could play your bill, your monthly subscription for WoW with these tokens that you transferred right into credit. But now that
what
credit,
are WoW tokens?
I don't know.
So basically, you can purchase a month worth of WoW as an
like in-game
currency,
yeah.
And you can trade that for gold or whatever. So basically, it's a way to enable gold trading or whatever.
It helps the economy. It prevents gold farming in some way.
Starts to help them.
Yeah, but an in-game WoW token, like a month subscription in game, will cost you about what, 30,000 or 40,000?
It depends on the currency of the server that you're on.
Okay.
But it's 38,000 or something like that.
Not actual. Is it actual WoW gold or
WoW gold?
You purchase token?
Because somebody bought this for money, and then they can put it up on the auction house, and you can purchase it on the auction house, and then you can use it if you click it in game. Then you get an extra month on your
account.
Okay,
so the only way these tokens exist is if they purchase it through
somebody
Blizzard
purchased
themselves.
It.
Okay.
Yeah, correct. But Amelia brought this up for a reason.
Because
and
now you can turn that stuff into Blizzard currency.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah,
so just Blizzard credit that you can use to spend
play
in
HOTS.
Game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even buy merchandise in their store, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Like, probably,
shirts and stuff.
So
They need a better, like, system with their currency, because you cannot gift anybody anything in Heroes of the Storm. And I think
that's
like
right.
For any Blizzard game.
Yeah.
That seems odd to me.
Yeah, that is weird.
Fallout 4.
Oh, Fastidious said his server is 60,000 gold. So 60,000.
Wow. Dude, the one I was playing on, I swear it was like 30 or 40.
I think mine was 38,000.
I think the high population
PvP is a lot harder to farm, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on a PvP server, so maybe that is the case. But it's weird because you can have characters on every server, so you just pick the server with the lowest economy or whatever.
Why, can you move money around freely?
No, you can't. You're right.
There you go. Fallout 4 high-res texture pack released already. Mixed reviews because it's 58 gigabytes.
Holy shit,
just for
that
the
is
textures.
A lot.
You know what, though? High-res texture packs are always huge. I mean, 58 gigs, that's pretty extreme. But if you look at Rainbow Six Siege, I mean, I'll even bring it up right now. What was Rainbow Six Siege? They had a high-texture pack that was, like, freaking huge. Same thing with that. What was that Lord of the Rings game that came out a couple years ago?
Was it Lord of the Rings?
Has it been?
No, Lord? Yes, though. You know, the one with that cool nemesis system?
Oh,
Shadows of Mordor?
And this is hardly worth bringing up now, but on Utopia, they did have a nemesis system, which is pretty cool. If whatever kills you goes and picks up all your loot and levels up, and then you have to deal with him as a boss next year, in your next playthrough.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I really like that part.
Okay, Rainbow Six Siege's high texture pack, they recommend 30 gigs available space. The minimum is 30 gigs available space. They recommend 47 gigs of available space. So, yeah, high-res texture packs are just monstrous.
So this Fallout 1, though, is official, right?
Because
they had some mods that did high-res textures.
Yeah, it's by them, so, you know, it'll probably work. And it's a little, it'll slow it down a little bit as well. HoloLens, did you guys see this? Bobby, you want to pull that up while I move to the next thing?
Yeah, let's check that out. HoloLens, this is Microsoft's augmented reality
headset. So they did Valve put out a Portal demo, and it's exactly what you would fucking imagine. You have a you play the video. That's the only way you're going to get an idea of what's going on.
So you have a gun in front of you,
not a real one,
and it shoots at walls, and it will recognize where the walls are, and
right, exactly. And you can play with this cube. You know, you probably get bored of this in 30 minutes, but for those 30 minutes, I'm sure there's a smile on your face.
How does it know where the walls are and
that's
shit?
That's how this thing works, man. I don't know.
Does it have two cameras that it's like...
I don't know. I imagine it would have to, but this guy's doing it outside as well. Like, yeah, you could do all the things that you could do in a normal Portal in real life, except for... The cube isn't real, and the portals aren't real, obviously.
Oh, my God. It's going down steps and shit.
Yeah.
There's turrets.
That's cool.
Funny.
Yeah.
It's one step closer.
You know what this thing is, right? So that's real life.
Yes. It looks like AR,
right? It's not virtual reality. It's augmented reality. Yeah. You see what you see in here, but then it would put stuff on it. So it puts those portals on the surface.
So okay. Anyway, maybe some of the most 5 minutes you can have ever. I'm sure it's one of those free demos, too.
Yeah. Shadow of Mordor. That's the that's the Lord of the Rings game we were trying to think of.
Thank anybody know how much HoloLens is?
Is it out?
I don't think it's on sale. Yeah, this has been like a project Microsoft has been working on for years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's nowhere near.
So Google Glass is out, but HoloLens is not. Is that
right?
How that works?
But Google Glass tanked hard.
Did it?
To my knowledge.
Yeah.
You never even hear it mentioned anymore.
Mm-hmm.
G2A did an AMA on Reddit, and it just, man, they just jumped on these people so hard, so much. Just like every single line that I read was just aggressive about, like,
people are thinking they're shitting on the developers of games,
how they're hurting gaming as general, and whether or not they're hurting developers and this or that. And to their credit, they very professionally answered most of the questions. I think they unfairly got attacked. I mean, criticism, one thing, but, you know, it's internet hate. 100% of their people are internet people. So it's just going to get pretty aggressive pretty quick.
Yeah.
I didn't think they got a fair shake, but I feel like they handled themselves well. Whether or not their business practices are on the up and up, I don't know. I can't say for that for sure.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. But if you're interested about what they think about themselves, you should check out this AMA.
Yeah, that seems like a really bad idea on their part. I can't imagine that going well for them.
Well, it takes a lot of balls to do it.
Yeah,
they must really believe in what they do.
Well, I almost feel like they did it just to clear up some of these misconceptions, or if they are misconceptions.
So Steam has rumors of adding apps, a.k.a. Netflix, stuff like that, comics and TV, there's been some images of Steam with all those things on there.
Well, wait, they already have applications.
No, apps like Netflix.
And, like Steam apps.
Yeah, you're talking about...
Like you could add Netflix to your Steam, right?
I think the Steam box needs
that. I think that would be a lot of fun if you were watching something and Steam already has that broadcasting feature, and if somebody else was watching a movie, you could just hop in, watch the movie
with
them.
That'd be cool, too, watch them together.
And yeah, because right now there's really nothing out there that would let you do that other than actually timing it with somebody else over, you know, the phone or anything else.
Yeah.
Or it could show up while you're playing. You know how it pops up and says, like, Emilio's playing Binding of Isaac or something. It would pop
He's
up
watching
and say,
Predator, too. Yeah. Come shit on it with him.
So Fastidious says the HoloLens could be yours for a mere $3,000 for the dev kit. Because that's all you can get right now. You can't get the commercial. You can't get a regular version of it.
The biggest problem I've heard.
Are we all getting one?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's just AR. It doesn't interest me so much.
Okay.
Wow. Fair enough.
No, it's not interesting. That's.
I agree with you.
Where was I? Oh, so I think it's rumor and just somebody mocked up these pictures, I think personally, but people don't know because Valve never leaks anything.
Yeah.
The only reason I put this thing in here is it's a no-brainer for Valve. They should do this 100%.
There's a lot of probably legal things going on. Like you said, if you could go in and just broadcast something else, like you can't just have Netflix and be able to broadcast Netflix.
Yeah.
You're going to get in trouble for that.
Unless that person has Netflix as well or something like that.
I think there's a lot of legal things going on.
I don't think you'd be able to broadcast anything, but it would be just like you were playing a game that, I don't know, it's in your library. You don't have to go somewhere else to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be cool.
It's for their benefit to do as much as you can within the Steam architecture.
Yeah,
because the longer you're in the Steam architecture, the more you're spending money in the Steam architecture.
Yeah. Psychonauts 2 has been signed by Starbreeze. Those are the people that do Payday 2. They're going
to. Oh, cool.
This is awesome. I'm excited. Yeah.
And it's going to come out in 2018.
Why does Double Fine not own the Psychonauts license? I'm confused here.
I don't think Double Fine publishes their own games right now.
So is Double Fine making it and somebody else in Starbreeze is
publishing it? Starbreeze is publishing it. I believe that's. I may be way wrong.
Because you just read the headline.
That's what I do.
Okay.
But I do it so well, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for being our go-to news person
here. But that's exciting. I mean, the first Psychonauts game is really good, but it's really old. I mean,
it's also kind of like an underrated hidden gem. Not underrated, but a lot of people don't know what.
A lot of people miss that one.
Yeah.
I had been playing PC games for maybe 8 or 9 years when I played it. And it was out at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
But I'm the guy that says nothing holds up, and that game held up.
It's crazy, like, the things you can do in there. Like, you can do the rail slide on that and shit like that. Like, things that you'd be like, why is this included? But they do it so well that, like, it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That was just such an interesting concept, too. Like, you go into people's minds.
Yeah, for sure.
It was a great game on so many levels.
There's some really early footage they showed off. One of the people's minds, I think, is like a dark jungle, like a Dagobah jungle. So he must be a creepy fuck or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Psychonauts would be perfect for an HD remake of it. If somebody did a shot-for-shot remake of Psychonauts, like you said, it all holds up.
Yeah.
And you could totally just do another one.
Okay, so if the Psychonaut went into, and this is not pre-set up, so if people don't answer right away, if the Psychonaut went into your brain, what kind of world would be there waiting for him? Ooh. I feel like Bobby's would look like the Borg cube.
Either that or Heroes of the Storm map.
Yeah. Oh, that's much.
Oh, much my more gosh. Likely.
Chi would be.
Obviously.
Conan Dix.
Yeah.
Conan Dix.
Just wobbling.
Just wobbling. Just a
close up of
giant
taints.
BBC.
Yeah. Just, wow.
You know, with the sunset in the background.
Somebody said the dark toned characters in Conan like automatically have a bigger dick to start with.
Oh,
I don't know if it's true or not, but I think that would be funny. How about you, Emilio? It'd be looking like
just titties.
It'd be exactly Cheese World, but
Sriracha sex dungeon.
Yeah. Instead of dicks, it'd be titties.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. And mine would look like rainbows and unicorns because everything is all good on my sick and twisted mind.
It would just be one big cobweb.
So I've had
cobwebs are problems in that game.
A little side note on my fucked up head. I've been having a week long dreams. My dreams have all incorporated forgetting something. For like a week, I've had dreams where I'm forgetting things in my dreams. And every time I wake up in the morning, I'm like, what the fuck is my subconscious trying to remind me that I forgot?
Yeah, you probably forgot something.
I can't think of anything. Yeah. But my every night, I'm getting these fucking subconscious dreams of forgetting something. And I can't figure out what the fuck I forgot. Next week, awesome. I'll be coming in and be like, oh, shit, I forgot.
If you come on at all.
Yeah. Small tangent of dreams. I actually have very, very vivid dreams, and I lash out. I actually have night terrors. So in my sleep, if I'm dreaming about something scary or something that kind of like feeds on my insecurities, I will wake up screaming, cussing, kicking, punching.
Wow.
Hitting.
Max.
No, it's not fun for Max because the other night I had a dream.
She snores too.
That too. I'm the worst person to sleep next to.
A gem.
The other night I dreamt that Max cheated on me. And it was.
Did you wake up and slap him?
I was asleep and I fucking donkey punched him in the dick twice.
Oh my God.
Like I hit once, he's like, ow, and I hit again. And I was coming into consciousness doing this.
That's hilarious. Like,
and then I think I pushed him and then I went back to sleep.
Does this person still love you?
Yeah.
Amazingly. Like,
I would have kicked you out of my house.
But no, that's, but yeah, I don't know if you guys have that problem, but.
No, nobody has that problem,
no,
G.
No. Although I do grind my teeth and it sounds like bones rattling.
Yes.
But that's it.
You go.
I'd go with that all day over cock punches, though.
Yeah, seriously.
No, it's just me. And it's happened with me and anyone else I've shared a bed with and had a bad dream about. So.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right.
So that was a little tangent we just went on.
Yeah, right at the end of the show. Perfect timing.
What's next
week looking like for everybody? What plans do we have?
For me, more Resident Evil 7.
Is anything coming out big coming up?
No.
Not really.
Okay.
Gee, how much more could you have in
that? How about we actually manage to do our get-together and play video games?
I will be in town this weekend, so
yeah, I've been trying to get that going on Sundays. We had Super Bowl last Sunday, which is why nothing really happened then, but I would say Sunday is probably the best day for a lot of us.
Yeah.
Nobody cares, Fastidious.
Fastidious says Halo Wars 2 is coming out in 1 week.
I've never been a Halo guy.
Yeah,
but
me neither.
Halo Wars was a good game, though. For a console, it was a good game.
You know, we are running our audio a little differently for this show, too. So if you're in the Discord chat, I don't know if this sounds any different, but maybe you can give us some feedback on that. Everything should be the same if you're looking on the MP3. But I do want to test one thing here, since we are running this through my computer. Hey, Cortana, how tall is Tom Cruise?
5'4"? 5'7".
Okay. Now, we can't hear it, but I'm pretty sure, I don't know, Discord, can you let us know if you guys heard that? Did Cortana tell you how tall Tom Cruise was? We're waiting.
She did not.
Oh, what Cortana, what the fuck?
Cortana, right. You suck.
Okay. No, Cortana, goddammit, go away. All right. We'll work on that. Maybe we'll incorporate that into the show lately. That could be easy, you know. Anytime we have a question, I can... It'll save me the hassle of typing it.
What did I read? Oh, Google Home's, like, how to use Google Home.
Okay.
The video that you watch makes the Google Home go crazy is the thing that's going on right now. So you get it, you set it up, you put it on, you watch the video. Video
and
makes
keep
the,
saying
the
Google
device go crazy, yeah. That's happened with me on the Joe Rogan Experience.
Somebody didn't think about that one.
He'll talk about how annoying saying, hey, Siri is, and then my phone that I'm listening to.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it goes, it cuts off the podcast.
We've gone too far with technology.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the whole thing where it was like the Xbox was listening to you, and so you could like basically fuck with other people's Xbox by shouting into their
user handle to like Xbox shutdown or whatever.
Yeah,
the
exactly. Right.
And then he'd troll people. People would call that out and make their Xbox turn off. Yeah. All right. Well, we should wrap this up.
Okay.
All right. Well, speaking for Chad, Chi, Bobby, and myself, clown lotion titties.
Everyone. Even a Conan, like, medium-sized unibrow titties?
No. They're lotioned. But they're clown lotioned.
Endowed titties? Can you give me an endowed titties? No.
The lotion is rainbow colored. They're clown lotioned. Okay, all right. Thank you, everybody.